Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast. Every single Monday through Friday at 5 p.m., 5 to 6 p.m., we like to be able to hopefully be with you during your dinner time and just kind of while you're fixing dinner, maybe eating and kind of talking about the events of the day, getting a biblical perspective and hopefully a normal conversation, trying to just have a conversation here. And there's nothing like sane at tea, right? Somebody being sane is like, you look at these things, you look at people today, it's like, are you for real? Are you really talking? How much are they paying you to say that thing? Right. True? And then you find out, you flip the channels, and it's like, how many people are, you think, oh my goodness, they're just reading teleprompters. It's somebody else behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. No teleprompters here, sad to say. But joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I don't know if you heard this, but John plays football.
Played.
That's what he claims.
Played football.
I don't see any evidence.
We're looking for any pictures.
Monroe Woodbury, let them know. Hey. All the shout outs to all those in New York, let them know. Hey. VFNTV.com. Let them know.
Right. I really truly believe I can understand.
Were you the football?
Was that I could have been.
Nice.
I could have been.
Nice.
Have we started to be nice?
That's not nice. Well, getting back to don't bring up his height. That's not a good thing to do.
I didn't mention
that. That is not. And don't bring out my weight. Anyway, so here we are. We, in the beginning of our last program, during our program, began to talk about the promise. And we're going to finish that up in today's program. We have so much we want to talk about. And a limited amount of time. You got to stay tuned to all the programs because we're going to be revealing more in depth about this prophetic word that was written sometime back by Rick Joyner, The Harvest. You've been hearing us talk about it. But there's one particular statement that I want you to hear. Pat's going to read it, and we're going to talk about it. If we get a chance in this program, more than likely it'll be our next program. But I want you to hear it so you can begin to just realize we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And because there's an enemy within America, it's worse than what's outside of America, right?
Yeah.
Read it from The Harvest. What does he say?
Sure.
And this is The Harvest, Rick Joyner's book, and a prophetic encounter that he's writing down what it's going to be like during the days of this harvest.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Okay, he says, there will be a period of time when the United States will have a hot border to the south with almost daily clashes and casualties. Internal pressures will have caused such a lack of resolve that she will even yield large sections of her own territory to invaders by failing to use the force required to stop them. At that time, the enemies within will be greater than those without.
And that's so important because, you know, pride always has a tendency where we're always just looking outside. We're never looking within. And so when a nation's prideful, we never considered that I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be, and I found out that my issue was me. I mean, pride doesn't do that. Pride never looks in the mirror, right? Unless it goes, look at me. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Right, yeah.
He goes, right. And so, you know, so here, you know, we're just briefly letting you know what we're going to be talking about our next program. That when God launched VFN TV on the CTN network, WHBR, that you know, we were already operating off a Rhema Word of God, but then we kind of went to the next level and we were going to move into WHBR, CTN, Christian Television Network. That night he spoke to me, and what he showed me was, this is, you know, dreams, prophetic dream, and we had not yet read The Harvest.
No.
We had it, but we hadn't read it yet because it was just wasn't time. And so I'm in this battleship in a dream, and I'm patrolling up on the Gulf Coast, back and forth on the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, kind of going up, I guess, from Texas down to Florida. And it's moving really fast, too. I mean, you wouldn't want to move that fast, but we were moving. And all of a sudden, we passed by a particular area. And then I look behind the battleship, so an area that we've already come through already, and I noticed that these gunboats were coming towards the shores of America. America's borders were being under attack. And so, I don't know, they're 55 caliber guns on those big ships or whatever, those big, huge things like the USS Alabama. And so we just wheeled around the guns and turned them all the way around this way and just began to just offload, boom, 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 firing into these gunboats and just blew them out of the water. And it was such a dramatic thing in this vision, this dream that God's showing me, that this one particular man, what's going to happen in America, is going to be so dramatic, people are going to be beside themselves. You have to understand, God showed me this particular man. First of all, he was enamored with himself. It was all about him. Secondly, it was him, and then there was another him beside him that came. It was like one person, but there was two of him right there. Mm-hmm. And he was looking at the other part, and it's like, he was beside himself. And that's how God has to speak to me. I guess that means he's beside himself. And he was just shocked at what was going on. And then the ramifications of this big attack on the borders were exactly what Rick is saying. Mm-hmm. In the harvest was all the chains and stuff that protected the border. They were all broken down. All the solid piers and docks and ports that were on the borders, you know, where you do trade and all that, they were all raggedy and you couldn't even hardly walk on them. Mm. And it was like America's borders were under attack. You know, obviously you heard us talk about it, but understand we move prophetically in the context of that. And that's, by the way, just so you know, when you see the businesses and the partners standing up with VFN TV, standing up for God and country in that order, and standing up for Israel, and that same encounter with God, God told me about these businesses. And he showed me that he wants to bless the businesses that stand up for him. He wants to differentiate between those who say they're following God, but they don't want to talk about him, from the ones that say, I want to stand up for God and Israel, God and country in that order, and I want to stand up for Israel unashamedly. And so you see these sponsors that came, that's God spoke about each of these businesses and the ones that are still coming. Maybe that's you. You say, you know, I'm looking for something to do. God, I mean, it was very specific. And God showed by doing that, things are going to start working in your business. Things are going to start coming together. Maybe you're at the end of yourself in your business. Maybe you're beside yourself in your business. But understand, when you begin to partner with God and what God is doing, he's going to begin to plug things back in again. It's the word of God, if you allow the VFN TV, VFN radio to be played at your business and allow the word to just kind of wash over your business, the conversation, it's going to begin to change your customer's viewpoint, your employee's viewpoint, your viewpoint, and you're going to be hopeful. No matter what, you're going to be hopeful. And that's what this fishing string represents, because he showed that specifically taking place over the businesses. And so the enemy within, we're going to be talking about that in our next program. You got to make sure you hear, because so many people are looking outside the borders. And yes, you know, what's taking place inside of Syria and Iraq and all the Middle East right now, it is part of what's taking place in America. Mm-hmm. But understand, there's something in America and it's not good. And we can stand up now and begin to pray, and God can deal with that, and he can reveal that. Because he says, just like Jehoshaphat, you know, when he saw this was going on and he knew that his end was near, he turned to God, positioned himself to receive from God, and God spoke to him. And you need to, that's available too for our partners. Don't forget, this is all available to you. You just got to hear, it's time to hear some meaty, meaningful, biblical, correct teaching, because God's got a way for us to handle these things. I mean, he tells us very specifically, and I believe it's called positioning yourself to be able to receive from God. It's available to all of our partners. It's like $9.95 a month or something. It's all there for you. Well, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the promise. We began to talk about that in an earlier program, because of all the things that Jesus said to do, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father. You remember when he's talking to the disciples and he starts going up real slowly up, and you think, well, is Jesus abandoning them? Is he leaving them? No, what he's going to do was, when he got to heaven, God was going to release the promise. And he told them, he said, listen, don't do anything, don't say anything, don't go anywhere, just wait. Wait for the promise. And God is about to do it again. For you that have been waiting on the Lord, you know, I believe that you're going to just mount up like eagle's wings, and God's going to begin to soar. I believe a third great awakening is about to happen. And yes, happen. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times simultaneously. But understand, if that's what we want, that's what it's going to take, and it's all worth it in the end if it saves men from eternal separation from God. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations. That sounds like a quote from a pastor from the Great Awakening in the 1700s, but it actually comes from a man who went on to become the first governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's a quote from 1775 by a gentleman that many consider to be one of the greatest orators in American history. You might recognize him from this other quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." Now it might become a little more clear. Today we're talking about Patrick Henry. He was a member of the House of Burgess, an attorney of the General Court of Virginia, elected to the Continental Congress, and a leader of the Virginia militia. So we could pretty much classify him as an expert on whether or not religion has a place in government. You might recognize "Give me liberty," but listen to what else that famous speech contained. "This is no time for ceremony. The questing before the House is one of awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery, and in proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country." This is the beginning part of the famous Liberty speech, but you don't hear much about it. He says that we owe a great responsibility to God and then our country. He mentioned God in the same breath as our country. You can also back up just a few lines from the Liberty section at the end of that speech that everyone's familiar with, and here's what it says. "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." So the next time someone quotes, "Give me liberty or give me death," remind them that the liberty spoken of in that quote is our great responsibility to God, and that Patrick Henry asked God to forbid that America be put into chains and slavery. Another one of our founders asking for God's guidance. Isn't that powerful? The claim that our founders wanted a separation of church and state is an unconstitutional lie. There are over 1,000 facts to prove it, and today we looked at a few more. As the great orator Patrick Henry said, "There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations." Now, that's something to think about. God bless you.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, "I love it when you ask me what I can do to help," but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, "What can I do to help? What do you need from me?" it almost implies like, "Hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help." You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, where it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour. plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, we're talking about the promise of all the things during the transition of the church when Jesus is going to go be with the Father. I mean, here he walked for 33 years, right? God walked amongst us for 33 years, and he's going to leave. And he says, listen, before you do anything, wait for the promise. So this is so important. I mean, this is like the first case scenario. This is the first thing that you do. And so, you know, I begin to teach on this, and you're hearing it right now, about the promise, and begin to just kind of have this conversation about it. And the next thing that I remember, and you can get, it's all available for everybody that's our partners available for you. It is about speaking on the promise. What baptism did you receive? Of all the things that Paul could have asked when he ran into some folks, because they were believers, they were walking with God, they heard the gospel, but he noticed something that was different about them. He noticed that they were powerless. He knew there was something missing, that the Spirit of God was missing in their faith. And so he says, you know, what baptism did you receive? And so he said, they said, oh, we received John's baptism. He didn't say they were wrong. He said, oh, he says, yeah, well, you know, he baptized you with water, but I want to be able to baptize you. And so what he did was he made them followers of Jesus instead of followers of John.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were followers of at that time, John. And so many people right now, I mean, they'll talk day and night about their denomination. They'll talk day and night about their pastor or some apostle or something. But you ask them who Jesus is to them, and you're like,
Right.
And they're not even shocked they don't know the answer. They're not even shocked they don't know the answer, right?
Nope.
It is amazing. He's a good friend of mine. Every now and then I call him up. And now that long distance is cheaper. And so what he did was, they were totally open. They weren't offended. They weren't offended by going like, what do you mean? I've been baptized. He's like, and so he began to explain to them, listen, that you need to be a believer. You need to follow Jesus Christ. And John understood this because the ones that was following him, he says, listen, it's time for you to follow him. Mm-hmm. You know, he must increase, I must decrease, is what he said. By the way, that's what all of us should be saying. And so they actually were water baptized right there in the name of Jesus now. First, they were water baptized with John, and the one to come, well, Jesus came, and now Paul's walking under the power of the Holy Spirit and sees them there. And so they get water baptized. So they're baptized by water. But then he lays hands on them. So he had water laid on him first, and the second time was the hands laid on him. And what happened was the same thing that happened to the disciples at the birthing of the church. You got to get this teaching. I mean, that was the one moment that he knew that they entered in and out to the full baptism was available for them. So there was two baptisms taking place in the context of that. And then the next thing I started talking about in the promise was, you know, shameless audacity. Because we have, you know, leaders that have ran for political office, and they said the audacity of hope, and that comes from actually a painting, and I talk about it, and I show the painting during. It's an amazing thing because this particular painting has this lady that has gone through some, just been, you know, enslaved, probably beat up, you know, from the 14th century or something. Right. The painting, and she has one string left on her instrument, you know, harp like instrument, and the other ones are broken. And the whole thing is, it's called the audacity of hope. How can she hope? I mean, look at her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Jesus is talking about this particular lady that needed something. She went to knock on this man's house, and she said, I need some bread. I got some friends coming over. And the man calls out the window, and he says, listen, what are you doing? I mean, it's late. The kids are in bed. You know, I'm not going to come down. And she had the audacity to continue to ask. And that's what the NIV says, how it describes it. The audacity. She had the audacity to continue to ask. So many people ask God one time and just give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many people say, you know, God says he'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I can't contain. And they walk for an obedience to God in those areas for a moment, and they get offended because instead of saying, you know what, throw rocks at the floodgate of heaven, right. Have the audacity to continue to ask, wait and wait and wait and call out and cry out. And some people, they said in previous times, generations back, they would call pray through. But the thing is don't give up. Wait for the promise and have the audacity to hang in there and know that everything God said he is who he is. And begin to have that just bold determination that you're going to have the audacity, shameless audacity to say, I'm going to ask even though you say no. And this is what Jesus said. He said, not only because of her shameless audacity did this man get out of bed and come and answer her needs. And he says, this is how your father is. If you'll ask, and you'll even ask with shameless audacity, everything does not just come because you ask. Sometimes you have to be persistent in asking. Don't measure yourself by other people. Just realize this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're going to get, because your persistence, you think, listen, which of you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give you the promise, the Holy Spirit, to those that ask him?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to encourage you, because you're like, man, I was just such a wimp when I was asking for things. God, I want to get some shameless audacity.
Right.
And I'm literally could just see, like, you're throwing rocks at heaven. It's got to break this brass ceiling. Something's got to give. And this is going to really encourage you. Then, in the promise, and this is a whole series you got to get that's available to you, to all of our partners out there. About the sin of Simon, because in regards to the promise, he saw it as a way to profit. He saw it as a way to have a lust for power, and power. People that lust for power, people that want power to be able to control people, manipulate people, to create wealth for themselves, to be able to lift their name up. And when he saw the promise, when he saw the power of God on folks' life, he actually offered to buy it.
Hmm.
And you got to listen to this, because you'll be really surprised what happened. And this is in the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. When Paul deals with this, we got to begin to deal with the sin of Simon in the church, because there's so many profiteers in the church that have the sin of Simon, and all they want is a title. All they want is they want power to be able to do something that lifts their name up. And people say, well, you can't. That's a Christian if they have power. Did you read Matthew chapter 7?
Hmm.
Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, you know, there's many false prophets that are going to come in my name. You're only going to be able to tell who they are by their fruit, not by the power, because he said many people are going to come to me in the last days and say, did we not move in power? Did we not prophesy? Did we not lay hands on the sick and they recover? And he talks about the use of power, and Jesus is going to tell them plainly, away from me, I never knew you, you evildoers. So these Simons out here, these ones who lusted for power, it's not going to be well for them at the throne, even though they're deceived and thinking that it's going to be good. It's not going to be good. If we don't understand that there is a difference between those who lust for power and those that understand that God just wants you to wait for the promise, because he wants to empower you to be able to walk this life out called the life of a believer. So you've got to get that. That's a big issue in America right now. The sin of Simon needs to be dealt with in the church, because we need power, but we don't need Simon to have it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't need Simon to have it. Simon says we got to do this now, right?
Right.
Anyway, so, and then, all of a sudden, the next aspect of this is in the conversation that this outpouring of this revelation was about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And there's a reason why God's putting his Spirit on you. When you get baptized in water, there's a reason why. When you get baptized in the Spirit with power, there's a reason for that. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the captive, to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted. There's something. It's not for we can tell people, like, hey, I got the baptism.
Mm.
Like, thank you for hurting the gospel. I mean, you did nothing with it. 95% of American Christians, do not win one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime, according to George Barna. So the purpose of the Spirit of the Lord being upon us is to be able to go tell people that God loves them, that God's got a plan for their life, and God works with you, confirming his word through that power, leading people to God, not to you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Power to be his witnesses.
Yeah, power to be. The whole point was the power to be witnesses. And then and it's just three more. I just want to cover them real quick. Like, is that the next was, you're going to be really surprised. I mean, there's people out there, and this part of the talk was called The Promise, the Role of the Holy Spirit. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? So many people have put him in, you know, God's Spirit in a place that, in their mind, this is the only place that he is, if any at all. Some other people said, listen, we don't need him here. We cannot build a church with the Holy Spirit. He kind of messes things up. Huh. And they say, well, you know, what we'll do is we'll have a big gathering on Sunday and we'll just move him to Wednesday.
Right.
And that worked so well, you found out you could build a real big organization without God. So then he's like, you know what? We need to actually move some of these folks to Wednesday. We need to move the Spirit of God out of Wednesdays. Let's just move them into home groups. Mm. And then finally you go, let's just move him into Marvin's group. you know what I'm saying? It's like the one person who held on in that gathering that said, you know, I truly believe that God can move in power. And then you wonder why Marvin leaves. Mm. And then God's left a long time ago because you didn't want him there. One particular man said this. He said, in the presence of other ministers, this one lady was in my church for 6 months. Mm. She was there for 6 months. And she didn't even know for the whole 6 months that it was a church. And he thought it was a good thing.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, and Moses said, dear God, I don't want to go anywhere without you. Mm. Because what's going to differentiate me from people who are not yours? Yeah. It's only your presence that does that. When people walk into the presence of the church, which is a believer, not a building, then people know that you're a believer because God's Spirit's with you. If they can hang around you for 6 months, you got to ask yourself, what baptism did you receive, right?
Right?
And so the role of the Holy Spirit, and I talk about 44 different, there's a lot more than that, but I just kind of cover 44 different roles, what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit. When you find out, you can actually relieve yourself of being Holy Ghost Junior here, and you're trying to do everything that God says he'll do. He'll convict the world of sin. He'll judge the world about the different things. He'll actually comfort and he'll remind and he does all these different things. He reveals the thoughts of God. There's like 44 things plus. That's just some of them. And so you can get that in this part of this teaching. You need to be able to get it. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way.
You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. LIGHT.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We are talking about this promise. I mean, think about this. And actually, I'm only really talking about a teaching, really,
right,
on the promise, because Jesus said, I mean, he's about to leave, and he says, wait for this promise. Remember I was telling you about the promise, and the Father's going to deliver the promise, and he's going to comfort you, and he's going to, listen, you got to wait. I promised you this. So wait for what I promised you. I'm not a man that I would lie, or the Son of Man that I would change my mind. I don't speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. Everything that I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do. So I want you to wait. And so we're listening. What is the promise? And so there's 13 parts to this, and it's so dimensional. It's just going to just, I think it's going to, it, you need to, it's like a, it's like a, it's a launching pad for you. It's a launching pad for you. It's a reboot, if you would, if you're already walking with the Lord. And if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's the day to do it. Go to meetmyfather.org and become a partner so you guys can get these teachings and make them available to you. Everything's available to our partners who stand with us, because we stand together keeping the conversation light. And so, you know, like I just said, the role of the Holy Spirit, 44 plus aspects from the Word of God of what, you know, he tells us about the Holy Spirit. But the next thing I begin to talk about, it's a very important thing, because so many people that talk about the Spirit of God and the baptism of God, this other baptism that the disciples experienced, other people experienced, they think about just wild, out of control, crazy, meaningless. You know, some people say, you know, that struggle in those areas, they go, you know, that I'm being Spirit led. And it's like, no, you're being misled, because, yeah, I mean, you're rebellious. That's not the Spirit. Spirit of God's not going to rebel against his own word.
Right.
I mean, God's not going to violate his own word. And so you have this out of controlness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this part of the word of the Lord gave me in this part of the promise is called the control burn. You know, you got those atomic people. You know those atomic people, right? Mm-hmm. They blow in, blow up, and blow out, and you're left there for the damages, right? But you look, I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus was always power under control.
Mm-hmm.
He was always power under control, always power under control. And when you talk about, you know, blessed are the meek, a horse does not lose its strength when it's meeked. It's still the same strength. It's still the same power, but it's under control. It's a controlled power of a horse, but it's strength under control. So that horse is tamed. And when you look at a Marine, they move in one unit. They function together and they're like the tip of the spear. And people say, you know, with, it's crazy, but if the church saw that and they were in suits or they were in, you know, Tyler shirts nowadays, I guess, you know, that they would go, they're weak. Because they look like they're, and this is, no, that's strength under control. So it's not about being out of control. Mm-hmm. It's about being under the control of the Lord. And so it's not about being all wacky. It's about being very specific, and it's a controlled launch. It's about a controlled burn. And so then there's folks that say, you know, because you launched right, you're always right. Because you burned when you began to, you started your life off right. You've got to get this teaching. Because you started things off right, you assume everything else is right. Nobody can tell you because you encountered the right Jesus and you did what was right in the beginning of your walk, that you're thinking everything you've done from that point on, now your third relationship, your fifth job, you've got kids all over the place, you're struggling with everything in the book, but you go back and go, yes, I launched right. And you were right, you did. But Paul said to the church of Galatians, he said, who bewitched you? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Do you think this has happened because you obeyed some law or because you believed? And so you can be cut in on. You can. I think about the Challenger, the Discovery, when it was being launched. If you watch it back in 1985,
yeah,
when it was being launched, that you're watching this thing go up, and it's like, oh my goodness, here it goes. The first teachers go into space, and everybody was just destroyed when we saw what happened in our hearts, because even though it launched well, even though every single nut, bolt, and everything had paperwork to go with it to say that it was right, something went wrong and it exploded in midair right over Florida and over the ocean, and it was just tragic, and everybody on board died. Yes, it launched right, but it didn't end up right. And I know so many folks, it's like, but your life has exploded. It's like, it's, you know, look at what's going on. I know that you launched right, but quit defining everything in your life where you presently are based on what you did 10 years ago. Look where you are now in your life. Return back to your first love. It's begin to become, understand, a controlled burn. It's about being controlled. And then think about this, that you think about the space shuttle when it launches out and everything works according to, it's an atomic bomb, if you would. I mean, think about this, that I think it was Harry Truman that said that something like the atomic bomb is equal to like 21,000 tons of dynamite. And when you think about it, he says, I want you to wait for the promise. And the promise is dynamite. It's the word dynamite, used for dynamite. So God's going, I want to give you dynamite, which could be very troublesome if you don't use it right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it into a closed area, if it's like a tube, if you put it in a tube and you let it explode in a tube, you can eat tonight because that's a gun. It's going to shoot the cow or the deer or whatever, and you're going to cook it tonight. So that's a controlled burn. Your car is a controlled burn. When you think about that, there's explosions happening under the hood of your car, and it's causing the pistons, by the way, to move up and down, which causes your wheels to go around, and all of a sudden you go down the street. That's called explosions. Those spark plugs are setting off one explosion after another explosion. And that's why you put gas in your car, because you want to have a controlled burn. Without a controlled burn, you're going to be tired. Right?
That's right.
Or you could, the whole thing could just blow up. And I've seen cars burn. You ever seen cars burn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so those are explosive control burn underneath your hood. So it's not about an atomic bomb that just blows up everywhere. And so many people, you know, have done a disservice to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus by just being rebellious and running off with their gifts and doing crazy weird things, and they're not under any, not rightly related to anybody, and just you know, atomic people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Atomic. And it's like you're doing more damage than good if you just look at what's behind you. Begin to look at the fruit behind you, and if that's not good, then it's not good what you're doing, because it's all about fruit, not about your gift. And so, in a control burn, if you think about all that that force being in this launching of the space shuttle, and it's properly happening, you have this huge space, this big missile attachment fuel container that just explodes, but it puts all the force, you know, underneath it, and all of a sudden the space shuttle begins to go up. You know, with that, you're able to break through atmospheres and barriers and everything that you could never, because it's a control burn. And if you're wondering why you cannot break through anything, it's because you refuse to rightly relate yourself and connect yourself and wait for the promise and understand it's about a control burn. It's like the centurions understood with Jesus. I myself am a man under authority. I tell one to go and he goes, tell one to come and he comes. It's about being under the leadership of God. It was he that gave apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists the fivefold ministry to be able to do what he wants to do, for to train each of us for works of service as together we function. And so you got to get this teaching, because of a control burn, for example, in a space shuttle, the satellites, the things that we're even talking to you through right now throughout the earth, you know, through our cell phones and GPS and all that, satellites are in the air because of that control burn. Imagine what we could do in the church if we come together, not for people's agenda, but for the kingdom of God, not for sin, before holiness, and to say, dear God, we want your will. We want things to happen your way. And it's just amazing. You got to get, it's called a controlled burn. And those that have been kind of shunning their experience with the promise because they've seen other people who said they've got the promise and their life has been a disaster, an atomic disaster, you know, I just ask you right now that you just forgive that part of the church and say, you know, they're immature, didn't know what was going on. I know that when, you know, Brother Ken Summerall, a spiritual father of mine that's now with the Lord, when they first experienced the promise, they ministered for years, but it wasn't until later on that they experienced the promise in the 60s, and then there were so many things going on. There's a lot of atomic situations, but they begin to realize that doesn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not how it should have happened. And then he strongly led at that point, and then God did some, still today, the works are today are still going on. So about it being a control burn. When we get back from the break, we're going to cover one more area, and this is just so exciting. Make sure you can get this whole teaching, 13-part teaching, is available at VFNTV.com to all of our partners.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. Listen, John, I'm totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. You know, I said that last year, but next year I can visualize
getting to the place, you know, where Pat is. You know what I'm saying? I could get to that place. You know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yes, yeah, lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size. You know what I'm saying? At least half the size. But I do have a goal. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and look at the equipment and pray for a divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Coming to the last part of this teaching on the promise, and it's available for you, like I said, and understand, this is not like, hey, I want to teach on something. Hey, why don't I teach on this? This is something that birthed out of the Spirit of God and the power and the time that we're in right now, and this proceeding Word of God and what the Lord had spoken at the time and the season that we're in. And so it's a now word. It's a rhema word for us in the church because we're believing God for a third great awakening, but there is no third great awakening without the promise. We have to have a dimensional understanding about what Jesus told us to wait for before we did anything and be able to get it. And so remember, this whole conversation began with God was laying on my heart about the persecuted church. And this is actually where God was leading me all along. But I went through all those things and taught on all each of those things that I've been talking about so I can get back to what the last thing that I was going to talk about, which is the first thing I talked about, which was the promise, with it, persecution. You see, quite often the reason why people who claim to be of the Lord don't want the things of the Lord, because with it comes persecution. Hmm. He says, Jesus said, anyone who gives up in this lifetime, homes, families, jobs, those type of things, for Jesus Christ and the gospel, not just gives it up, will not fail to get it back 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. And most people stop there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that last little part says, with it, persecution. In other words, you're going to be persecuted. Things are going to go through. And so the power that we need is not just for the witness and not just for the manifestation and the affirmation that this is the word of God, God confirming what was being said, but we needed to be able to survive under a time of persecution. So remember, God began to deal with me about the persecuted church, and you know, and I just felt, you know, such a shame because America's not, we had the power and the ability and the strength, our nation, to rescue every persecuted Christian on the face of the earth. And there was a day that we did.
Hmm.
And now we have Christian. So at that time when Miriam Ibrahim was in the Sudanese prison, she's a Christian. She refused to deny her faith. And they were telling her she was going to be hung by the neck after she was whipped 40 times while she's pregnant with a child. And so we fasted. We wrote a prayer that we're going to pray in this prayer community. We wanted to break it loose with prayer and fasting. And God released her during those 3 days. It was very powerful. So during this entire time, I'm teaching on the promise and God's revealing more details about this revelation, and I'm sharing, and you can get it all, but I'm sharing it as he was speaking to me across the whole earth. This huge escalation of persecution began to happen all the way across the earth. The Jews and the Christians, JJ, just persecution increased. We all of a sudden, Gaza began to fire these missiles coming into the point when we walk in with the teachings and begin to talk about these teachings at the VFN Dream Center. We had alarms going off, these red alert alarms going off where missiles are coming in, and Christians begin to be beheaded and crucified and pushed up to Mount Sinjar. I mean, think about it. I mean, the whole world's being shifted while God is revealing, I told you to wait on the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many people are doing this powerless, and you're miserable. You've been toting water, and this thing is not meant to be done in your strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by God's Spirit. It's His Spirit that does this. We just follow Him. Remember, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's His Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we're sons of God. And so with it, persecution. This is, so as I'm teaching on this, it's like the whole world turns upside down. And it was just Pastor Saeed at the beginning and kind of a, you know, the typical persecution. And all of a sudden, it's just like cranked up this huge notch where all of a sudden ISIS comes out, you know, and Hamas starts firing missiles into Israel. And they're forcing folks and they're coming against the Kurds and the Christian Kurds. People are talking about, you know, raising ISIS up in America, radical Islam across the earth. Africa's going into this area. And of all the things that happen, and for the whole world to see, Christians got pushed to the top of a mountain as a sign to all the church. And they ended up at the top of a mountain of sin jar. Why would we not, if we would not obeyed God, if we have not waited on the promise, if we're in this predicament, all of us, maybe we're in sin. Maybe we need to get into the Word of God. Maybe we need to begin to abide with God. Maybe we need to wait. No matter what we do, let it all burn. If it's hay, wood, and stubble, I don't care if it's a crystal cathedral. Let it burn and say, you know, all I want is God. All I want is God. And if those folks that you're with don't want God, why do you want them? Because you're going to answer alone before God, all by yourself. You're going to answer all by yourself. You're not going to be able to bring a board in there. You're not going to be able to bring that pastor in there or whoever that is. You're going to be all by yourself. And so persecution just increased greatly, where they're literally running Christians out of their cities and their homes. And Jesus said this. He said, whatever is done to the least of these of mine are being done to me. So Jesus is being persecuted. He said to Saul, when Saul was going to Damascus, when he was going there to persecute the church, he already had them Stephen stoned. He already ran into all the houses of the Christians, pulled the Christians out. This ain't nothing new. This has been going on ever since the birth of the church. But what are we doing? Are we moving compassion over the persecuted church? And this is the thing about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, you have to understand this guy, because Jesus is telling us that we need to be like the Good Samaritan. When this guy was beat up on the trail, they're going to this particular town. They see on the side of the street, this man's been robbed. He's been beat up and all these different things have happened to him. And the religious people look at him, you know, these flowing robe religious folks, and they go, people with a religious spirit. They say, because it's a real dangerous place. Obviously, he got robbed, you know, so you could be robbed too, but it's a real dangerous turn that he's in. And these religious folks say this. They say, what will happen to us if we help him? So they just move on. And that's America. Mm. What will happen to our freedom? What will happen to our money? What will happen to our this? What will happen to that? But the Good Samaritan said this. When he saw the same situation, he said about the Christians in Sinjar. He said about this man that was robbed on the side of the street. The Good Samaritan said this. This is what God's telling us. He said, what will happen to him if I don't help him? Mm-hmm. You aren't even in the paradigm. But you have to have the power of God to be able to go through such times. There's no way we can do this in our own strength. Persecution of Christians during the time of this revelation being released. I mean, little girls were being told, you renounce your faith. You make Islam your religion. You begin to follow Muhammad. You renounce Jesus Christ or we're going to kill you. And she did not renounce Jesus Christ. And they shot her in the head, a little girl. This is all happening during the time that I'm teaching on this. And it was began in persecution when they said, crank it up a notch. And the power is not to promote your ministry. The power is not to promote your name. Simon, you need to get out of the church. This thing is for God to be able to lift up. You are not the space shuttle. Jesus is the space shuttle. We're the booster rockets. that for a season, we lift up his name, and he continues to go up. And then you think about this. While I'm talking about this, when God's revealing this to me, persecution sweeps across the globe to the point that James Foley is on his knees, and the whole world sees this evil, dark man who's held captive by darkness, as James begins to just calmly, boldly, like a hero before the whole world, while God's speaking to me about the persecuted church, while I'm saying it's about the promise and it's about the power. It's not the power to do signs and wonders for yourself. It's about so people would know that there's hope in God and there's power to do exactly what James Foley did. Power to be able to go through times of persecution. Power to be able to stand before kings. Even when you're arrested, Jesus said, don't worry about what to say because God's spirit is going to speak through you. It's about knowing and following God and him advancing his kingdom, not advancing our own kingdom. So suddenly, as I'm coming to the end, and I'm delivering the week, I'm going to deliver the last part of the promise with it, persecution, this great Sinjar outcry with Christians on the top, thousands across the mountain, and while our own leaders were playing golf, and the church now, mind you, is doing the same thing. Because they're saying, what will happen to us if we get involved in the Middle East? What will happen to us if we go to war again? What will happen to us? The question is, what's going to happen to the Sinjar Christians that are on top of Sinjar? What's going to happen to James Foley, the next James Foley? James Foley on his knees sat there and was a hero, a hero. And you can go back and listen and watch his parents' interview on VFN TV. And he's just amazing man. And evilly, they cut his head off. And he stood bold for God and for peace. And he was willing. He said, what will happen to them if I'm not here? And I began this whole teaching talking about there was a man who waited on God, and his name was Charles Seymour, and it was at Azusa Street. And I told you how that all began. You got to hear the whole thing. And what the key point of Azusa Street was, when God had already showed up, the promise had come, they were criticizing him, they were persecuting him, they were coming against him, but he stayed faithful to God. He was letting a foundation be built. God was building a foundation through Charles Seymour. In some horse stable, if you would, right there on Azusa Street. That's why it's called Azusa Street. It was a place of just whatever. And then suddenly, an earthquake hit San Francisco in that time. And when the earthquake hit San Francisco, this is what I said in the beginning of this revelation. That's when people began to run for God. And the Azusa Street, you have to understand, it touched the entire world. No technology, 1906. There was no texting, no computers. There was just mail and that kind of process of getting the word out. And the world was shaken. Missionaries were launched around the world. So here I am. I'm coming in on that Sunday morning to deliver this last part of the promise. And you've got to hear this whole thing. It's time for you to wait on the promise and get the power of God in your life, church. It's time we're going to need. That's what differentiates us. The presence of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God. And as I'm delivering the message, the Lord shows me that morning, when he delivered the last parts of this to me, that there was an earthquake in San Francisco, and it was 6.0 on the Richter scale. Mm-hmm. It began with Azusa Street. It began with what God said about 1906. The South African pastor praying for me, I told you about this. You got to get this whole thing. You need this inside of you because you're going to need power to go through what's about to happen because there's enemies outside of America. But let me tell you something. There's enemies inside America. There are enemies of the cross. And we have to stand boldly like this young girl. We have to stand boldly, kneel boldly like James Foley's. We have to be able to be like the Kurds and stand up and say, you know what? This is not right. We have to stand up for what's right. It's time for us to realize, yes, we want the promise, even though with it comes persecution. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.